2, 1.
Stay curious and keep exploring. Do you recognize that theme? Yes, indeed. We're celebrating science, bringing on the steam, exploring Emily's Wonder Lab here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Do you love science experiments at home? You know, my favorite, it's the Mentos and Diet Coke volcano eruption. Here's my tip. Don't use regular Coke. Use the Diet Coke. This is some crazy chemical reaction. It is my favorite. What's your favorite science experiment? Are you good at making slime? What do you want to know about static electricity? Bring it on. Grown-ups, lend a hand. Join in. 800-642-1234. Emily Calandrelli is host and co-executive producer of Emily's Wonder Lab on Netflix. She's an engineer, space expert, and Emmy-nominated TV science host and executive producer of Fox's Exploration Outer Space. Emily, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
So we're all at home right now, Emily. Kids hanging out with grown-ups, that can always be interesting. What do you love about science experiments at home?
Yeah, science experiments for me, I think it's just, it makes science more like play. So much of science in school is, you know, a lot about memorization and textbooks and stuff that sometimes isn't super fun. And when you do experiments, you can make it colorful and messy and just way more fun. I think it feels more like play.
Yeah. Do kids teach you things about science when you do these experiments?
Well, oftentimes they teach me what I don't know about science because they'll ask me questions that I'm like, wait, I don't think I know the answer to that. And so I'll have to go and Google it and do a little research and do my own homework. But kids are just not afraid to ask questions, which is something that I absolutely love. I love really good questions.
Isn't that what's really science and learning is all about, is just asking those questions? And they're so important to get to that next step, that next stage of learning.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Science is all about, you know, seeking truth in the world. And scientists find systematic ways to do that. They're all about finding really, really clever ways to find out what is true in the world.
Well, at our house, we're watching Emily's Wonder Lab. Can you tell us about how this show debuted on Netflix?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So this is job. So Emily's Wonder Lab is all about making science feel more like play. We do science experiments that are big and beautiful and colorful and explosive, and we make games out of them. And it's just a way to make science more accessible to everyone. And it's something that I've been wanting to do for a long time because I grew up with, you know, Bill Nye, who is amazing and one of my heroes. But I wanted a show like that that featured someone who looked a little bit like me, because when you're a girl, there's not a ton of people on TV that look like you that are doing science. And so I just wanted to create that for the next generation.
Oh, my goodness. And you shot the first season very much pregnant as well.
I was 9 months pregnant when we filmed the show. That was just, you know, life happens. And they had asked me, well, do you want to film the show before the baby comes or after the baby comes? And I was I don't know what it's like to have a baby. This is my first. I hear it's pretty hard. So let's try to do it before the baby comes.
Good answer, right? But, you know, I would assume, too, I mean, that in itself is learning about science. You know, there's a lot to learn there, which can be a launch pad to questions.
Yeah. While I was teaching others about science, there was all of this science going on inside my stomach the whole time. It really was like a very cool, unique moment of my life, filming my own Netflix show, getting ready to have my first child. It was just one of those surreal moments in life.
Well, let me reintroduce you. We are talking with the host of Emily's Wonder Lab. She is Emily Calandrelli, and we're talking about her new show on Netflix. And parents, you can join in. Do you watch Emily's Wonder Lab? We want to hear from you. Help us dial. Certainly your kids can share what they love about the show, what they love about science experiments at home. What have you done in virtual schooling that you're carrying out maybe in your own driveway, in your own kitchen? Join in at 800 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Emily, even though in the pandemic, you know, we're at home, but you've been getting out in some virtual talks with elementary school students. What are you talking about with students?
Yes. So I've been doing the sort of like countrywide tour, moving state by state, just opening it up to any elementary student who's homeschooled or virtual learning or in classrooms, and just opening up these virtual little classes that I've been doing where I talk to them about my career. I studied aerospace engineering for 8 years, and then I became a science TV show host and then a children's book author. And I've just had all of these really cool adventures. And so I tell them about all the stuff that I've done. And then we do some live experiments that are inspired by Emily's Wonder Lab. So it's super fun. And I've just been talking to thousands of kids around the country because, you know, we're all at home and it's harder to learn in these circumstances. So it's been fun to kind of meet them virtually that way.
What drew you to aerospace and aeronautics engineering?
Yeah, well, I knew that I wanted to be an engineer. I really liked math, but I wasn't sure what kind of engineering I wanted to do. There's lots of different types. There's like computer engineering, chemical engineering, environmental engineering. The list goes on and on and on. But I remember when I was in college, I saw a poster on the wall of a student floating. And on the poster, it said something like, "Do your homework weightless." And I was like, kind of weird, nerdy metaphor is that? And it turned out that it was a class that you could take as an aerospace engineer where you could design an experiment with your classmates. And if the experiment was good enough, NASA would accept you to fly on something called the Vomit Comet. And the Vomit Comet, for those of you who don't know, is this plane that flies in the air like an 8,000 foot roller coaster in the sky.
Oh, and my gosh.
So cool. I mean, I'm telling you, it's the best experience I've ever had in my life. It's the reason I chose to go into aerospace engineering. And it does this so that the people inside float weightless. And it's a way to test science experiments in a weightless environment. It's a way to test things like satellites before you send them up into space. And it's the coolest joyride and laboratory in the sky. And that's the reason why I went into aerospace engineering, because I wanted to fly on the Vomit Comet.
What was that ride like for you? I mean, you must have had a whole mix of emotions.
Oh my goodness. I've since found a way to fly on it 2 more times because it was the best experience of my life. But the way it works is like a roller coaster. When it goes over the hump, you feel weightless, and then you have to go under the hump and you sort of dive right back up. You feel really heavy. So you feel weightless and heavy and weightless and heavy and weightless and heavy and weightless and heavy for an hour and a half. The Vomit Comet. Because most people, when they ride this, they get sick. And I did. I was part of the group that did. It really just was like the most fun experience and very disorienting because you've never felt that way before, but it doesn't really feel like you're floating. It feels like you're flying, which is just surreal.
Oh, wow. Emily Calandrelli is our guide to the wonders of science, and she hosts Emily's Wonder Lab on Netflix. She's also author of the STEM fiction chapter books called The Ada Lace Adventures. Maybe you've read those. What questions do you have about science? Do you wonder about static electricity, maybe solar wind energy, or why vinegar reacts with baking soda? Share your science questions with Emily. She's ready for them, loves them. 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a flash with Emily here on the Ideas Network. Yeah. Emily's Wonder Lab. Wow. Stay curious and keep exploring. Wonderland. Wow. Stay curious and keep exploring. Emily's Wonderland. It's Isn't it a blast to be curious about science? It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. And here's the thing. No matter that we're mostly at home in a pandemic, there are science experiments we can do all around us. It is such a privilege to have Emily's Wonder Lab host, Emily Calandrelli, to help us out. Which science experiments make a glorious mess? What do you learn from them? What ingredients do you keep on hand to make your best volcano ever? It's 800-642-1234. And Emily Calandrelli, she's an aeronautics alum of Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, and an Emmy-nominated TV science host. She's with us for the hour. Emily, let's get right into some fun experiments here. How about some oobleck slime? Or do you say oobleck? Because some people say oo and some people say oh.
Ah, I say oobleck. It comes from the Dr. Seuss book, Bartholomew and the Oobleck. And it's a very old book, but it's about this like king or something who wanted something new to fall from the sky. And he didn't want fog or rain or wind or snow. He was sick of all of that stuff. And so he asked the wizards of his kingdom to create something new. And they created something they called oobleck. And that's my favorite experiment that we did on Emily's Wonder Lab, to be honest.
Well, let's get some ingredients together because we have to, you know, start with the water in a bowl and add some cornstarch and a bit of thyme. What's going on here?
Exactly. So you need 1 cup cornstarch to 1/2 cup water. And you can scale that up or down however much cornstarch you want. We made an entire pool.
Ooh, filled. Scale up times 10.
And it's so much fun. I think out of all of the experiments we did on the show, this one has been the biggest hit. I think we single-handedly just really gave the cornstarch industry a boost with the experiment because it's just so fun to play with and it feels so weird because oobleck is something called a non-Newtonian fluid. And I remember in the show, we were a little bit nervous to say that word because it's a big word and this show is meant for younger kids. But now parents will message me and they'll say that their kids are running around the house saying non-Newtonian fluid, non-Newtonian fluid. And it's like the cutest thing. But a non-Newtonian fluid is a liquid that just doesn't abide by normal fluid rules. It's like the rebel of the fluid world. Sometimes it acts like a liquid and sometimes it acts like a solid. And so when you add pressure to oobleck, it feels like a solid. You can push it together and it feels like a ball. It feels really hard, like you could throw it between your hands and catch it and it just feels really solid. But as soon as you stop touching it, as soon as you kind of just like let it sit in your hands, it'll fall through your fingers like liquid. And it's just, it feels so, so cool. You have to make it at home.
Can you walk across it without sinking in? What happens when you make a big batch and you stand in it?
That is the question. So that's the big question that I ask my little scientists on the show. There's 5 little scientists in every episode. And I always ask them these questions. It's that we go through the scientific method and I say, what would you do to walk across the oobleck without sinking? And they all come up with their own hypothesis, their own educated guess as to what they would do based on what they know about oobleck to walk across the pool of oobleck without sinking. And some people think, okay, well, maybe if I walked really slow and steady, or maybe if I crawled and distributed my weight, or maybe because I know that when you add pressure to oobleck, it acts more like a solid, maybe if I stomped on oobleck really fast across it. And so they all got to test their different hypotheses and figure out which one worked and which one sank. And it all got very messy.
So when you let your feet sink down and then you try wiggling your toes, what happens?
Oh my gosh, it feels so weird. The kids, like a monster was trying to pull them down under the oobleck. Luckily, we only made our pool about 1.5 feet deep. So nobody was anywhere, but it would be very scary to be in like a big pool of oobleck because if you sank to the bottom, it would be very hard to get out.
What is your favorite color you'd like to add? Do you add any food coloring?
Yes, I always add blue because I think in the Dr. Seuss book, the oobleck was blue. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of brings it back to the roots. So I always like to use blue.
And we also have this recipe, by the way, at WPR.org/mornings. I want to move to another recipe as well, another science experiment, if you will, about balloon-powered cars and how to make them. How does this all work, Emily?
Oh, this is so fun. This is all based on Newton's third law of motion. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And it's just, this principle that exists in so many places, like rockets and balloons. And when you let the air out of a balloon, the air escapes one way. And so the balloon wants to go in the opposite direction. So we can put that on maybe some cardboard with some wheels and use that power to move the cardboard and wheels. And now all of a sudden you have a balloon powered car. So you can create this with some straws and some tape and some, you kind of have to go maybe to a hobby shop and get some plastic wheels and an axle. And if you just do this all at home, you can create your own balloon power cars and then maybe race your siblings to see which balloon power car is going to go the farthest.
I like that too, because, depending on how much air, how much you blow into that balloon could also significantly affect how far your car goes.
That's exactly right. That's the experiment that you can test. How do I make my balloon go farther? Should I add more air? Should I add less air? Where should I direct the air? Because in the show, what we would do is we would put a straw inside the balloon and tape it shut around the straw so that you can direct all of that air in one direction. What happens when you move the straw a little bit to the left? Which way does the balloon go? Which way does your car go? What happens when you move it a little bit to the right? So you can play with this. And I love it because it's so experimental. You can really test out so many different things.
We're talking with Emily Calandrelli. She is the host and executive producer of Emily's Wonder Lab on Netflix. You can also find her on Fox's Exploration Outer Space. And she's taking all your science questions. We're getting ideas for science experiments at home. What questions do you have about science experiments that you love to do? How can you make them bigger and bolder? Join in at 800-642-1234. Grownups, you too, and you can help out. Email ideas@WPR.org. So, Emily, let's talk about some rainbow bubbles. Can you tell us the science about rainbow bubbles?
Yes, rainbow bubbles is so much fun, and also just it's a very popular one from the show. So that one you can use baking soda. And for me, what I like to do, it's a little different in the show. What I like to do is I like to take my baking soda and add food coloring to the baking soda, add just a little bit of water so that it mixes in really well. And you can make a tray of multicolored rainbow baking soda. It'll look so beautiful. It looks like Instagram worthy. And then you need to take an acid. And in the show, I believe we used vinegar. You can also use lemon juice. Either one will work. And what you want to do is just take your acid and start pouring it over your baking soda. And when that happens, you kickstart an acid-based chemical reaction that creates a lot of carbon dioxide bubbles. And because we've added so much color to it, you have these rainbow bubbles that are just, it's so, so pretty. And you can add, you just keep adding the vinegar, you can keep adding the lemon juice as much as you have, and those bubbles will just keep forming. And oh, it's this one is really, really pretty.
How big can you get your bubbles to go?
Well, you can get them to be a little bit bigger if you wanted to add soap. That is the secret ingredient. A lot of volcanoes, volcano experiments that you see, if you add soap, then that captures the air into a bigger bubble. And so you can make more foamy bubble reactions. But yeah, this one is, it'll stay in your pan. If you just have like a cookie sheet or some sort of baking pan, you can line this up in your baking pan. I use cake pans too. And it'll stay within the pan. So this is a good one if you're not trying to get too messy and you just want to keep everything thing contained.
So what is happening with the chemical reaction when I add Mentos to Diet Coke, a big Diet Coke bottle?
I believe that one is also an acid-based reaction. I haven't done that one myself, which
it's so fun. It is. This one's messy though. It shoots up in the air.
That one is super messy. I think one of the reasons that one's especially messy is because usually you're using a 2-liter bottle or you're using one of those smaller bottles. And anytime you have a wider bottle moving up to a smaller nozzle, like that smaller opening, you're focusing all of that energy to a smaller space, kind of like funneling the energy to a smaller space. And so that's just going to shoot straight up into the air.
Yes, it is. Emily Calandrelli is with us. She's teaching us all things science and what it's like for women with careers in STEAM. She hosts Emily's Wonder Lab on Netflix. So why does Earth travel around the sun in a circle? What if you moved to the moon? What would you bring in your space bag? What is a black hole anyway? Let's talk science. Bring your best questions, 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up with Emily Calandrelli after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. We are having a blast with science here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. What a pleasure and honor to talk with the host and co-executive producer of Emily's Wonder Lab on Netflix. Emily Calandrelli is here. She wants to talk about all the awesome things that science offers us. What do you wonder about planets in our solar system? How do you feel about the dwarf planet Pluto? Do you work as a scientist or are you in school to be one? What can you tell us about your studies and your discoveries? Join in at 800-642-1234. And engineer Emily Calandrelli is answering our science questions throughout the hour. Let's bring in Jenny now, who's joining us from Wauwatosa. Hi, Jenny.
Hi. I'm calling because I have an 8-year-old daughter who absolutely loved your show. And I really want to continue encouraging her love of science. She's always bringing home science books from the library. So what resources would you recommend to me to help encourage my 8-year-old daughter's mind?
Yes. Oh, and I love that you are asking this question because I think the best thing that you can do is simply be supportive of that passion. My parents weren't scientists or engineers. I didn't know anybody in my life that was a scientist or engineer, and all my parents did was support me. And so I think that's the most important thing. But in addition to that, I think introducing her to other females in this field goes such a long way. For me, I think the people who are doing such a great job of communicating science in a creative way are on YouTube and TV and on social media. And if you look up people like The Physics Girl or Raven the Science Maven or Hood Naturalist or Stephanie Explains It all of these women are just such incredible science communicators, and they're creative and they're talking about science on Instagram and TikTok and YouTube and TV and Twitter and all of these ways that I think eventually your daughter will likely want to consume information on these platforms anyway. And so introduce her to role models who are doing it in the name of science.
Yeah, keep the role models going. Jenny, thank you so much for calling in. Let's bring in Joanne now in Milwaukee. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, I am a 77-year-old child who has been wondering for a long time why, when a vehicle is going forward, the rubber tires are going forward, it looks like the hubcaps are going backwards. And somebody told me that's a wagon wheel effect, but I don't know what would be the physics of this.
Huh. Emily, help us out.
This is one of those questions where I'm like, that's a really good question. I would have to Google that. And I think that's one of the wonderful things about science is that people who are in this field often, you know, we don't know everything. We just get really good at Googling things. And that would be something I'd have to Google myself. I suspect it's something, you know, you see this effect in other ways. Like if you see a helicopter and the blades are moving so fast, it sometimes looks like they're not moving, or it looks like they're moving in a different direction. And I don't know exactly what causes that. That would be something I'd have to Google myself, but that's a really great question.
Well, Joanne, thank you for that question. Thank you for asking those questions and being so young at heart. So, Emily, the sixth season of your show, Exploration Outer Space, debuted in October. And in your first episode, you are taking us on a journey back to the moon, and you talked with a female NASA engineer working to put the first woman on the moon. What did you learn?
Yes. Oh my gosh. So this is all about NASA's Artemis program. Mm-hmm. The Artemis program is NASA's next big program to send the first woman and the next man on the moon. The name is really fun because Artemis in Greek mythology is actually Apollo's twin sister. So this is like their kind of counterpart to the Apollo program. But it's different than the Apollo program because this time they're designing their lunar program to be a bit more sustainable. So they're trying to make it so that we're actually there to stay. We're not going there, grabbing a few rocks and coming back home. We're going there to live and work continuously. And so for me, I cannot wait to see the first female to put boots on the moon. For me, that's going to be a really big moment.
What are the engineers' biggest challenges? Like, what are they working on at this point?
Honestly, I think the biggest challenge is not necessarily technical, because as you know, we went to the moon 50 years ago when this wasn't what it was today. And so usually with space programs, the biggest challenge is actually the money. It costs a lot to do these types of things. And when you have so many different people involved, everybody has a different idea of how they want to get it done, and they all want different jobs in their state. And so you just have a lot of different variables that you're trying to balance here. But with the technical stuff, I know they're working on something called a lunar gateway, which is really fun. A lunar gateway is going to be similar to our International Space Station, where we have this International Space Station that orbits the Earth in low Earth orbit, pretty close to us, like 250 miles away or something like that. And instead, what they want is a lunar gateway that orbits around the moon. And so astronauts could live and work in this lunar gateway and then take these short trips up and down from the moon to do little science expeditions.
Oh, so they could make like commutes, if you will, that their commutes would be pretty much more streamlined.
Oh, yes. The coolest commute that you can imagine, up and down to the moon.
Something that I think you would be interested in.
I think that would be a very cool job. I would be okay with that commute.
You know, you also, in another episode, talked with NASA astronaut Scott Kelly, who is a twin and spent nearly a year in space. What did you learn about the human body and how it reacts in space?
Yeah, so this is something that NASA has been studying for a very long time, and they don't often get an opportunity like this, because Scott Kelly and his brother Mark Kelly are both astronauts. His twin brother Mark Kelly are both astronauts. And so what they wanted to do was have Scott go into space for a year, for nearly a year, and study how space affected him and compare it to his brother who stayed down here on Earth. Because with a good science experiment, you want a control. You want a control where almost everything else is the same, and you're only changing one thing. And that one thing that you were changing was one of the people was in space for a year. And what they learned a few different things, but one of the things that was kind of interesting is that his gene expression changed. His genes stayed the same, but the way that they expressed themselves changed a little bit, which was kind of interesting. And his telomeres, which is the ends of our chromosomes, they got a little bit longer when he was in space. The telomeres that we have, they get shorter as we age. It's kind of like they degrade over time as we get older, and space is hard on the body. So their hypothesis, their guess, was that these telomeres would get shorter as he stayed longer in space, but they actually got longer, which was really interesting. It made scientists go, maybe, why is that?
Yeah, maybe space slows down aging. Could that even be?
Is space the fountain of youth? I mean, there are many other ways that space is actually very hard on the body, but that fact was very interesting to them. And of course, scientists will look at this and say, you know, this is only one data point. You have an N of one. You need to do a science experiment with thousands and hundreds of thousands of people to really get a better understanding of how space affects the body. But even this N of one, even this one experiment was really, really interesting and a good way for scientists to think of how they want to study the body in space in the future.
We're talking with Emily Calandrelli. She's an engineer. She's a science TV host, the author of the science chapter book series, The Ada Lace Adventures. And the third book in the series was launched to the International Space Station through the Storytime from Space program. You can join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Emily, tell us about the Ada Lace adventures that you're writing.
Yes. Oh, so Ada is a third grader who loves science and technology. And she, in each book, she goes on these adventures to solve mysteries with science and technology and really gadgets that she builds herself. And so it's such a fun series. There's five books in the series right now. And yeah, the third book, Ada Lace, Take Me to Your Leader, went to space on a rocket. And it was read by astronaut Anne McLean while she was floating weightless. There's an entire video of it. It's the coolest read aloud ever. And obviously like a dream come true for me. I actually went to the rocket launch to watch my book.
Wow.
It was really cool. But yeah, if you go to storytimefromspace.com, you'll see lots of different children's books being read in space. And Ada Lace is one of them.
What do you want your young readers to take away from these adventures?
Yeah, I mean, Ada is a girl that I kind of wish that I was more like when I was a kid. She is someone who is not afraid of failure. She's not afraid of trying new things. She's not afraid of trying something hard where she's going to have to struggle a little bit. She's not afraid to ask for help. And she's not afraid to work as a team to solve problems together. In the book, her best friend is Nina. And while Ada is really smart in science and math, Nina is smart in a different way. Nina is really smart creatively and artistically. And a lot of times they have to work together to kind of combine their skill sets to solve problems. And it's a really fun series that I hope kids walk away with a sense of curiosity and adventure.
We're talking with Emily Calandrelli, our guide to science and space exploration. She hosts Emily's Wonder Lab on Netflix, and she's also been a field correspondent for the Bill Nye Saves the World show. Have you wondered big questions like, are we alone in the universe? What's down in the deepest, darkest depths of the ocean? My goodness, how about this one? Can we live forever? Bring on your big questions, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute and change, count to 60 plus 30 for more awesome science here on the Ideas Network. Yeah!
Emily's Wonder Lab. Stay curious and keep exploring. Emily's Wonder Lab.
It's the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer. Kent, what an absolute pleasure to have space expert and engineer Emily Calandrelli. Last year, Netflix picked up her show called Emily's Wonder Lab, and she filmed the whole series 9 months pregnant, and she's so proud that her daughter will be able to watch it someday. And when she was studying to be an engineer, she was one of a handful of women in classes of dozens of men. Emily, what was that like to be one of just a few, you know, few women in your classes?
Yeah, it was always a little weird. You walk into a room where most people are not like you. You sort of feel like you're in the wrong room. I think you kind of have to work to get used to that. And I also wanted to go back to that woman's question about the wheel spinning backwards, because I just looked it up over the break. And in case anybody is still listening who heard that question, the question was, why do sometimes a wheel, when you're maybe videoing a wheel, when it's clearly moving forward, why does it appear to move backwards? And you can see this in many different things. Like if you look at rotors on a helicopter and you're videoing or taking a picture of it, it kind of looks like it's moving backwards. And the reason that happens is because when you're videoing something, you have a frame rate, meaning it's kind of taking images every few milliseconds. And if the spoke on the hubcap is in a position that's one notch back during the next frame rate, then it appears that it's moving backwards. Even though that same spoke is actually moving forwards, it's kind of in a different position that makes it appear, if you're just taking a series of images to create a video, it appears that it's moving backwards. And I thought that was really fascinating.
Oh,
so
Yeah, I hope, Joanne, you can get that answer. Thank you for that. Let's take another call now. Dave is with us from Ironwood, Michigan. Hi, Dave.
Hello. I'm just curious, do you do science, explaining the science of global warming on your show and other science, affecting policy decisions, helping people understand how science informs things?
Absolutely. So not on my Emily's Wonder Lab show, but on Exploration Outer Space, we talk a lot about how we learn about how our planet is changing from satellites in space. One of the big things that NASA invests in is Earth science. They have this entire constellation of satellites whose only job is to look back at our Earth and study our own planet. While NASA looks out into the universe and studies many different types of planetary bodies in the universe, the thing that it studies the most is our own planet, and learning how the climate is changing and learning how that's affecting our oceans and our water levels and these extreme events that we are seeing to be more frequent. And so, yeah, absolutely. We cover that in Exploration Outer Space.
If you would want your child to better understand what global warming is, how climate is changing, are there some more tactile things that we can do to help explain what is going on to our kids?
Yeah, I mean, I have a baby book that I really like that I've been reading to my daughter, and I forget what exactly it's called, but there's so many different types of ways to think about it. Like the atmosphere is a blanket, and it's nice to be warm enough. We need this blanket to survive, but sometimes that blanket gets too thick, and it starts to become really hot under there. And we can control that. Humans can actually affect how thick that blanket is. And I think that's one way to describe it. There's a lot of really great creative YouTube videos out there that are kid-friendly to describe the science of it. I would try to search YouTube if I were a parent, looking for materials like that, because there's just a lot of really creative ways on YouTube to describe it.
Do you think it is difficult for explaining pretty difficult concepts of science and physics and bringing that down to a level that is accessible to kids and even adults who haven't studied it?
I think it can be challenging, absolutely, because that means you have to understand it really, really, really well. If you can't explain it simply, then you don't understand it well enough. And it often forces you to go back to the basics and be like, okay, do I really understand this? How do I explain this in a simple way so that we're not getting too bogged down with jargon, that we're not getting too complicated and unnecessary details? What are the main bones of this? What's the simple aspect of this that I can explain to a kid?
We're talking with Emily Calandrelli. She's our guide. She's breaking it all down, all things science this hour. She's the host and co-executive producer of Emily's Wonder Lab on Netflix. You can join in with your science questions, what you want Emily to explore on future episodes. Join in at 800-642-1234. So Emily, I'm so curious, is there a future episodes of Emily's Wonder Lab? What is the status?
That is the question. I would love to create many, many more episodes of Emily's Wonder Lab. We are still waiting on the call from Netflix, and I would just like to recruit anybody who enjoys the show to share it with your friends and make sure that, you know, people that you think would enjoy it are watching, and maybe even tweeting Netflix and messaging Netflix and telling them you want season two. That certainly wouldn't hurt.
How did you decide what experiments to showcase on the show?
Yeah. So a lot of these experiments have been around for decades. Educators have been doing things like this for a very long time. So we scoured the internet for everything that was out there. And then we asked the question, how do we make this bigger? How do we make it larger than life? How do we make it colorful? How do we make it explosive? Or how do we make this a game? So we really just put our heads together to see ways to make this just really, really, really fun.
Yeah, that makes sense, because then it really, you know, when it's bigger and more explosive, I like the more explosive part personally. What was the biggest explosion that you guys have done so far?
Oh my gosh, probably we called it horse toothpaste on the interwebs. It is known as elephant toothpaste, but that's a really, really explosive one. You just mix hydrogen peroxide to make it explosive. You kind of have to get a special kind so that you can only find at chemical supply stores. That's really strong, but hydrogen peroxide is something you can get at the pharmacy if you want to do this on a smaller scale. And you mix it with potassium iodide. And when you combine those two together, you create this huge kind of explosion with oxygen. It creates a ton of oxygen. And if you add soap to it, you can capture that oxygen in bubbles. And so you create this chemical reaction that creates this column of soapy bubbles, hot soapy bubbles. And if you put it in a flask where it's fat at the bottom and skinny at the top, like we said before, you can focus all of that energy to one little spot and it's going to shoot up straight in the air. And I swear it probably hit like 30 feet in the air on the show.
Oh, wow. That sounds like so much fun. That is my type of experiment. I love it. As we start to wrap up here, what do you hope the future holds for women in science?
Yeah, I mean, really, I just want everyone to feel welcome in science. I want to make sure that anybody who wants to pursue this field isn't taken aback by feeling like they're too different. And so when my daughter, she's 1.5 now, I'm hoping that when she is old enough to choose what she wants to do in life, she feels free to choose whatever she wants to do. You know, I'm obviously kind of hoping maybe it's something in science, but I just want that to be open to her. So hopefully when she is old enough to choose what she wants to do, the demographic of people in the world of science is just a little bit more diverse.
How would you tell us to get over our fears? What if we fear that we're not smart enough to be a scientist?
Right. So science is all about passion and curiosity and just this relentless work to try to find the truth. And this idea of smartness, I think, is deceiving, because you don't necessarily need to be quote unquote smart to be good at science. You just need to be a really passionate, hard worker who wants to find answers to something. I didn't consider myself one of the smart kids when I was in school. The smart kids at my school were ones that had tutors and parents who are PhDs and all of that. And I wasn't one of those kids. but I was a really hard worker. And I learned that you can make yourself, quote unquote, smarter. You can make yourself learn things more each time. I mean, as long as you're willing to seek answers to a question, you can make yourself smarter over time.
Emily, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Emily Calandrelli is host and co-executive producer of Emily's Wonder Lab on Netflix. You can find a link to her science experiments. Go to WPR.org/mornings. Just ahead, it's 1A. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, where we love science, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.
Curious and keep exploring.